Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Badass Women's Hour Book Club with me, Harriet Minter, Emma Sexton. No Natalie Campbell this month. Unfortunately, she is not with us, but we're sending her love. And this month, we are interviewing author Sally Gardner. She has sold over 2 million books worldwide, and her latest, The Beauty of the Wolf, is a reworking of the classic Beauty and the Beast, but for adults. Sally, welcome to the Badass Book Club.
Thank you very much. I'm really glad to be here.
So we all know the story of Beauty and the Beast, but tell us, give us an overview of The Beauty of the Wolf.
It's basically a gender reversal. Beauty is the man and the beast is the woman. And I really wanted to just play around with that as an idea. And I thought I'd set it in Elizabethan England because that's a time where we didn't actually have words for homosexuality, and it was much more lucid. We allowed people their sexuality in a way which we now have to talk about much more than we should do. I'm always fascinated by the idea of beauty. I think for women, beauty is a really tricky thing. And I think a lot of us go to bed and imagine ourselves just waking up and suddenly we'll be like the size of a house, or we'll just explode with spots. Whereas men actually go through a period of time when they're young where they're sort of unbelievably beautiful, and they're sort of golden in a way that women have a real problem at ever finding. And they're so unaware of their beauty. They're very much more, it's just there. And I think for women, it's a much harder game than we ever admit to.
Definitely. I have definitely felt that. One of the things that was really interesting to me in the book is that Beau, the beautiful male, the first time he sees himself properly in a mirror, he is completely almost horrified by what he looks like and the impact that his own beauty has on him. How do you think, I guess, men feel about their own beauty? You said they're almost unaware of it. Do you think that's...
I think we're in such a weird society at the moment where image is absolutely everything to everybody. Yeah. So nowadays men are all wearing makeup, they're much more aware of themselves, so it is slightly different. But in the sense of a sort of seeing yourself as a beautiful man, as a straight man and beautiful, I think is quite a hard ticket to buy.
There's also something a little bit fearful about it, which is, you know, if you're very beautiful, it's seen either as, for men, either as a bit of a kind of, I use this in quotes, girly thing. So it somehow in yep. some way affects your masculinity, or it's something you're almost going to be manipulative with, that you can't be a kind of pure person.
That's exactly what the sorceress thinks Beau will be, is able to manipulate his beauty to get what he wants. And in a way, that is the stereotype of beauty. A beautiful woman will manipulate to get what she wants. And I really find that an interesting idea. He isn't like that, because he's never grown up with a mirror. He's never been allowed to see his reflection. Yeah. And he always thinks it's because of his sister that he doesn't see this image of himself. What really triggered this was a picture taken by a friend of mine, and he was at a concert. And it was quite a famous band playing, and everyone in the picture is taking a selfie of themselves.
Oh, wow.
At the concert. Everyone. It's a whole row of people. Oh. No one said, do this. They just did it. And there's something about that, that looking at yourself, that obsession with oneself, that really got me thinking about what we're doing. People aren't living in the moment anymore. They're just obsessed with how they look in that moment. So the moment is postponed. Yeah. I find that really riveting, and that sort of triggered my idea about this reversal.
in the book, the Beast, because we've role reversaled, is Randa, the woman. And I'm not going to give too much away, but she grows up very unloved, you know, feeling very unloved and hidden away. And it really struck me that that feels very metaphorical of how a lot of women feel if they do not feel they are a classic beauty. So even if they are still incredibly attractive in their own way, if they're not this sort of the stereotype of what we think should be beautiful, we're instantly giving ourselves horns and feathers and things that aren't there. Is that been your experience? Has that been what you've seen in women around you?
Yes, I think I never realised how what I looked like when I was younger. I look back now at pictures and think, what the F was I making such a fuss about?
We all do, yeah.
I was a bit stupid. You were really quite skinny and what was all this? And I never owned it. And in fact, I think a lot of women own it in retrospect. Like they'll say when they get older, yeah, I was really rather beautiful, or I was quite good looking then. But they don't never own it at the time. It's like I couldn't own it. I would sort of, I didn't feel it. I didn't feel it at all. I had a very beautiful mother, and I think I was very aware of her being the queen bee on the whole beauty game, and that no one was going to surpass her, and you didn't even want to go into that arena, really. So I never thought I was at all. And I think that is a thing lots of women grow up feeling.
I think there's just been a very one-dimensional viewpoint of what beautiful is, hasn't there? And I think for a long time, I think with social media, we see a false beauty, but I also think we're seeing more real-life beauty. In your book, When Beau Has Been Cursed, there's three types of archetypes. Can you tell us about those? So there's maiden, mother, and then the third one, crone?
Well, the crone is the old thing in fairy tales. The crone is the wicked witch woman. I really love the idea of the sorceress is one of my favourite characters because she owns the bad side woman as well as the good side woman. And this idea that we are these flat pancake people who are either nice, pretty and good and mummy, and we're not. We're all these things. We're bad mother, good mother, bad lover, good lover. We're all and nothing of these things. And I think it's in a way, what I like about her is her roundness. She does make a terrible mistake and she has to come to terms with that. But the crone was the old thing. The crone was the menopausal woman in history. The crone, that was the crone.
Oh, I'd never heard that term before. It was,
And she turns into the witch.
Women always being portrayed as witches, aren't they?
They
old
always
women?
Are.
I aspire to be a witch. Bring on the witchiness.
I think that's absolutely true. I mean, it is true. You get to a certain age and it's all gone. And now you're just an old crone.
Bring it on.
So I wanted to talk to you about the book and why you decided to write this book now, because you're known as a children's author, but this is quite a dark adult book, I think.
I love fairy tale.
Yeah.
My real passion is fairy tale, and I work in it so much for my children's. And just to be able to write something that is rich and real in the truth of fairy tale, but fairy tale was never meant for little people. This is the big mistake we've all been making. You know, Disney washed it whiter than white. And fairy tale was really for young women coming of age. It's the prick of the blood. It's the beginning of your menstrual cycle. It's a warning of the Harvey Weinsteins to come, really. And they're very canny. They're very canny stories. So there is a beginning of Cinderella, which is not ever told to younger children for this obvious reason. There is a king. His wife dies after giving birth to their daughter. But she says before she dies, you may marry again to any woman whose finger fits this ring. He obviously lives in a country of rather podgy-fingered women because he doesn't actually find anyone who fits the ring except for his daughter, who's 14 years old at the time. And when she sees what life is about to deliver her, she very sensibly upskirts and goes and lives at a house of a merchant who has two stepdaughters, beginning Cinderella.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I didn't know this about fairy tales.
Fairy tales were Cinderella's journey is quite an interesting one, and one that I quite, because so many people have just slandered her recently, so I'm here to defend this. She starts in China. She starts before the Bible is written. is the first retelling of Cinderella. And obviously we've got that from the feet, the lopped off feet and the bits.
Of course.
And it follows the Silk Road and it comes up through Europe and it obviously gains bits and pieces like a rolling stone. It's what's called a canny tale, a warning. And if you think about it before it gets all the pseudo-religion pumped into it, but if you take all that out, it's actually a story about a girl who manages through, with the help of a fairy godmother, which you could argue is her imagination, to work out a way of getting out of it. And the thing about fairy tales which makes them so powerful is that these characters are both cardboard cutouts. I mean, the prince we know nothing more about except that he's into shoes, can't be a bad thing, and
my
he's
kind of man.
A bit of dandelion fluff.
Yeah.
Whereas Cinderella also was very, they're just vessels for your own psyche to go and travel in. Now, if we make every princess into the warrior, ass-kicking, royal bollocking woman, there is no place for the young girl to go and play because maybe she's the prince. She doesn't necessarily have to be saying to her mummy, I'm the princess. She may be thinking, I'm the prince. And we allow that psyche and we take that away. We take all the power of these fairy tales and we just throw them away. We just dismiss them. And for children, these are incredibly powerful things, but they're also very dark. And I wanted to play with the dark. And I can't, with my readership, play with that level of darkness.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I want to look at this point about fairy tales being a vessel for us to, for young girls to put themselves in. Do you think how we portray our fairy tales in film and TV at the moment, do you think it's starting to allow that space back in from Disney? No.
I mean, I Frozen, I've got a granddaughter who's three and she goes around going, let it be, let it go. And I think that's fine. But I think also it's important when she's a little older to be told the other story. Funnily enough, I think they've done Frozen is Frozen. And I've never been very keen on the Snow Queen. It's not my favourite of all the tales. Hans Christian Andersen overlays it with so much blooming religion that you feel slightly nauseous before you've got to the happy ever after. But I'm really interested in the real old ones, like Beauty and the Beast, like Red Riding Hood, like Snow White and Sleeping Beauty. Sleeping Beauty, again, is a story of a rape and a story of a harpy. And again, that was lobbed off because in the original, she is asleep in a forest and a prince gets told that that's by her, his mother is a harpy. He goes in and he rapes her. And she only wakes up when the twins nuzzle at her breast. And then she has to fight her way to sort of save her two little children from the harpy who wants to eat them.
Oh my goodness.
Very different to how I say.
So what I call not looking at these stories, not really understanding before you decide to dismiss this for your children is a big bad mistake. And I always love the thing where Einstein was asked. He was asked, what would you recommend to make a child more intelligent? He said, read them fairy stories. Obviously, the person asking the question wasn't satisfied because he asked again, what would make them more intelligent? He said, read them more fairy stories. And basically what it does do is it kindles imagination. I'm passionate about that, and I don't think we're using it enough.
Do all your books have a happy ending? Fairy stories typically have happy endings, which I have a lot of beef with Disney about. Do your stories have happy endings?
Well, this is a really funny thing. For children, I can do unhappy endings. Mm. They quite accept it. Grown-ups get very upset.
Right.
Yes. And they like to know it's all going to sort of... A will meet Z at the end.
I must admit, I do get a bit sad if I watch a film and there's not, like, I don't know. I just feel like it's a little bit sad if it doesn't.
I sort of feel, oh dear, you've got to help grown-ups.
But interesting that children are very accepting of an unhappy ending.
Children are fabulous. They accept very complicated ideas. They have no problem with lots of things that I do, which I know I have to be a bit more careful and sort of explain a little bit more.
You've written so many books, and I was looking through your back catalogue, and they are wide-ranging. They go across countries, times, eras. How do you even start your research and your process?
Well, I think I'm fairly bonkers, so that helps. And I have to get myself down to a certain age. I've just finished writing a book now for middle grade. And that took a long, long time. I felt like one of those pilots, you know, trying to land a plane in a very windy thing. And just every time I nearly hit the runway, but I have to go back up again and then try again to re-enter to get it down to the right age group. But I love writing for that age group. And there's such freedom when I write for adults, you know, because I can be a bit more naughty and I can play with language and I can... And I wanted to play with language and I wanted to use words that we've sort of lost. And they're so delicious. I don't know how I do it, but I do. And I have no recipe for it.
Have you always been a big reader?
Well, I was severely dyslexic. So my big problem was that I didn't read till I was 14. And I got written off educationally. So my imagination was so superbly developed. You could give me a catalogue and I could make you 100 stories from it. So I lived in my head. And I always say to people, imagination is just a muscle. It's as good as working out in a gym. If you don't use it, it'll go. But I worked it so hard when I was little. I had to make my life bearable. And I worked it and worked it and worked it. And now it's like little, it sits on the thing going, okay, what do you want me to play?
Can you tell us about your author name? Because you write in a different name, don't you?
I do.
And what drove that decision to have a different name?
Well, I didn't want my young readership to read about sex from me.
Oh, I see. So your grown-up books are in your...
Yes, in the Ray Delaney.
Yes, okay.
And I just think it's just a barrier. Everyone knows it's me, but, you know, if you get to 18 and you still feel like reading me, there I am. And I got one journalist from The Sun said something quite funny. He said to me, you've been very naughty. You've written a book with sex in it. Do you think you should be doing that as a children's writer? And I said, where do you think children come from? Bad sex.
I also love, there is a lot of sex in the book. It's not, I hadn't really thought about that, but it's reading through it, it's a range. Like, there's some terrible sex, there's some average sex, there's some good sex. It's
all there.
It's all there, yeah.
And I just had somebody being very upset about one chapter being on a penis, and that seemed to cause them terrible upsetment, and it was too much.
Too much.
And it wasn't their cup of tea. And I kept thinking, my God, what's going to happen when they get out into the big bad world? The wolf has a tutu.
What do you want to do next? Do you want to keep writing books for adults, or are you... Is it a different process?
Yes, it's very. Mm. It's a very different process. I've thoroughly enjoyed it as a process. I have. Yeah. I'm doing one more, and I'm going to see where that goes and how it goes and what it does, and then. But I'm going to keep on writing. Yeah.
Are you going to keep using fairy tales?
Yeah, I love fairy tales. I want to make up a few as well, my own.
Is there a structure for them?
Yeah, there is quite.
Actually, so what makes a fairy tale a fairy tale?
Well, that's quite interesting because there are very few fairies in it.
Yeah. Lots of witches.
There's hardly any fairies in them. They're incredibly disappointing on the level of, you know, there. And it used to be in the very olden days that you couldn't really say the word because it was thought unlucky.
What, fairy?
Mm.
Really?
Mm. You weren't, you know, not a good idea to keep on saying it many, many, many times. And I was fascinated as a child that they never had fairies in them. I used to think, they're very odd. Hardly any in here. I quite like them when they're sort of rogue. You know, fairies are sort of just in bloody-minded mood and do grant a wish to somebody who's wished for something quite ridiculously stupid. And they're stuck with it. I did one with a child having a birthday in a series for children where a fat fairy turns up. And the child thinks the fat fairy's part of the entertainment. And the fat fairy says, I'm coming here to give you a wish, love. And he doesn't believe it, but he wishes he could fly. And that changes his life.
Oh, wow.
So I quite like that sort of rogue quality of naughtiness.
Reinventing the fairy.
Yeah, yeah.
We loved it. Thank you so much, Sally, for coming and chatting to us about the book. Beauty of the Wolf is out now.
It definitely is.
And it is a beautiful, dark fairy tale. We very much enjoyed reading it. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Badass Women's Hour Book Club will be back next month. But if you want to join us in reading along, don't forget that you can download the Kobo app, K-O-B-O, Kobo app, and get... There are a few, if you're quick, free copies of the audiobook, The Beauty of the Wolf, just using the code BADASS, obviously, at checkout. Use the code BADASS. And come talk to us about it. You can find us on Twitter at Badass Women's Hour, HR at Badass Women's Hour, or you can find me at Harriet Minter or Emma.
At Emma Sexton.
Or, of course, the lovely Nat at Nat D. Campbell. Come and talk to us about it, and we will see you here again next month with another brilliant book from our Badass Book Club.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.